Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he."
Thank you, Claudia. Well, please leave your Bibles open there. Tonight is our... Let's get rid of some rubbish. It's the talk from this afternoon. Tonight's our second talk in our little series called Fat Chats with Jesus. Sorry if that title's offensive. It's kind of a joke, but it's also meant to help us think about when we're having a conversation with Jesus, Jesus actually reveals to us what God is like. Now, before I pray, I just have two brief announcements. The first one is that Neilan, hopefully this is okay to talk about Neilan. Neilan spoke to me during the week about becoming a member here at church, and I thought, Neilan, that's fantastic. We need another member with a mullet. Actually, a member with a mullet counts as two members. So he wants to do that, but I thought other people might want to become members as well, because I know Elna has spoken to me a couple of times. We even ran a course for her that she didn't attend, but other people came too. It was actually really helpful to get up here. If you'd like to become a member of church, let me know, because in the coming weeks we'll run a course. You don't need to be a member to come along to church at all. Being a member just means that you are kind of signing up, saying, "Hey, I'm really on board with what you guys are doing here." And it also gives you a chance to vote on certain issues. So you can vote on staff, you can vote on whether I stay or go, you can vote on property and things like that. So it does give you the power, essentially, if you're a member. Anyway, that's it for that announcement. The other announcement is that next week after church, we're going to have like a potluck kind of thing. So that's like you bring a pot and it's luck when you go to eat it because you don't know what's in there. So everyone, it's bring and share, essentially. But Alex is getting baptized next week. So it's kind of a bit of a way to celebrate that. So that'll be exciting. So if you've got something to bring, can you just let me know? And then I might supplement it with pizza as well. from Domino's, of course. Anyway, that's all of the announcements. Let's pray and that God help us to understand his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now as we look at your word. Father, please help us to see its beauty. Please help us to know that worshipping you is what we were designed to do. It's how we can have true satisfaction. Father, help us to know these things. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I wonder if you've ever been thirsty before. I wonder if you've ever been kind of really dry in your mouth and you've been longing for some cold H2O. Now, I'm assuming the answer is yes, because we live in a barren desert. Actually, we live in the dry tropics. And so it's often hot and sweaty here. But I remember a time last year where I was panting for water, like a deer pants for water. It was actually after a mountain bike ride. Now, I'm sorry for the haters, people who hate mountain biking riding. That's a life choice that you've made. But anyway, this story is not about mountain biking, but it's about water associated with mountain biking. Anyway, it was a Thursday afternoon, and Catalina and Jeremy, that's Iona and Milana and Sven's parents, had a sweet demonstration bike that I could borrow and use and try out. And so Henry and I, we drove over there, and we rode from their house to the mountain bike tracks. But when we got to the tracks, I realised I'd forgotten something really important. I'd forgotten my water bottle in the changeover. And so what was I to do? Was I to go back and not ride the bike? No way. And so we headed up the hill. It was hot, it was sunny, it was sweaty. We almost got to the top, but not exactly to the top. But I was super thirsty. I was longing for some water. And I even asked my son, Henry, for a little bit of his, like just pleaded. He gave me enough to kind of wash the dirt from my mouth. But that was about it. But then I had an idea. You know, down the bottom of the tracks, kind of in the tracks, there's a park. And I thought, maybe there's a tap in the park. And so we drove down to the park. And you know what? There was a tap. It was public water, so it's a bit dirty. But you know what? It was good. It was refreshing. It was the water that I was kind of thirsting after. It quenched my thirst. Well, you might be thinking, how's this related, right? What's it got to do with the Bible? Well, in tonight's passage, we're going to be thinking about being thirsty. In fact, Jesus is out in the bush. Jesus is thirsty. Jesus is longing for a cold one. But as Jesus talks about water and being thirsty, he's actually talking about something else. He's talking about how we often try and get our thirst quenched. How we often try and get our satisfaction in all the wrong places. And see, maybe that's what was going on for me. Maybe that's why I risked dehydration and death on the hills of Douglas. It's because I wanted to try out this new bike, because maybe this new mountain bike might give me the ultimate satisfaction. Maybe I'll be satisfied forever. Well, the truth is there are many other things other than God that I think might bring me true satisfaction. But the example that Jesus will use tonight in our passage is about a woman who's having sex with a bloke that she shouldn't be. That's where she's trying to find her satisfaction. Friends, often we try and find satisfaction in all the wrong places. But true satisfaction is found in a relationship with our Creator. Worshipping Him will truly quench our thirst, because worshipping God is what we were created for. It's what we were designed for. Well, please have your Bibles open there at John chapter 4. Last week we saw that Jesus is in fact God. He's God in the flesh. Jesus, God's Son, is in the closest possible relationship with His Father. Jesus reveals to us what God is like. And so as we look at Jesus tonight, we'll get to see what the God of the Bible, what the God of creation is like. Now, in the first five verses of our passage, the scene is set. Jesus is on his way to Galilee, and instead of going around Samaria, like most of the Jews would have, he goes straight through the middle because there's someone that he needs to talk to. He needs to talk to a woman at a well, and he's going to offer her living water. And so our first point tonight is really that Jesus offers living water to everyone. Well, let's pick up the action from verse 6. I'll put the slide up. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. One of the things we find out in verse 6 is that Jesus is tired from his journey. Jesus is thirsty. Now, it's important for us to remember something significant here. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God in a human body. But Jesus is fully God, and he's also fully human. Jesus has two natures. And so because of his humanity, he is tired and he is thirsty. And he's at a well and he's waiting for a drink. And we find out that this Samaritan woman comes. She comes to draw water in the middle of the day. Now, we know that the middle of the day and into the afternoon, that's the hottest part of the day. So what is this woman doing out there at the well in kind of the hottest part of the day? Well, this woman is out there at that time because no one else will be there. She's an outcast. And we'll find out why that's the case soon. But Jesus asks her for a drink. And that's a bit risky. Often men didn't speak to women in public at that time. And often you went to a well to pick up a wife. And Jesus' disciples aren't around. And so what is Jesus doing here? He's breaking all the social rules. But remember, Jesus is God. And so this little story is telling us something about the God of the Bible, telling us something about our Creator. Well, let's see how the Samaritan woman responds in verse 9. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." The woman knows that something is up. She knows that Jews and Samaritans don't mix. The Jews regarded Samaritans as half-breeds or half-castes. They were Jewish, but they'd intermarried with other nations. And they only accepted the first 5 books of the Old Testament, and that was it, not the other books. The Jews regarded the Samaritans as unclean. And by Jesus drinking from her water pot, he would become unclean. But this woman, she doesn't exactly know what's going on here. She doesn't get who Jesus is and what he can offer her. Have a look at verse 10 with me. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." This woman doesn't know that Jesus is God in the flesh. She doesn't know that Jesus is God's son. She doesn't know what Jesus can offer her. He can give her living water. And living water in this passage is really code for eternal life with her Creator. Jesus is saying to this woman, a woman who the Jews would consider a half-caste, he's saying, "You know what? If you can see who I am, I will give you eternal life." What Jesus has to offer, it's not just for the Jews. It's not just for God's special Old Testament people. It's for all people who will believe in Jesus. Now, recently, my family and another family went to Dunk Island for the day. It was the Smarts. We kind of had a day up there before in QCC. Anyway, we had a great time fishing and jumping off the jetty and bushwalking. But when it came time for lunch, Jason and Kath were off with Joe doing a bit of a bushwalk. All the rest of the kids were with us. So if Joe's gone, there's 8 remaining children. They're all with Deb and I. And so as we started lunch, we started to eat the food that we'd all packed for our own families. But one of the children from the other family, let's say from the Smart family, they wanted to eat our lunch. But one of their brothers and sisters was very quick to point out that that was not their food. They weren't a part of the nice wraps with salami and cheese and tomato and avocado. They weren't a part of that. They had to eat the weird fake cheese, like a block of it was like jelly. They had little twiggy sticks to munch on and some dry biscuits. That was their lunch. Now, we assured this child, Rex, let's call him, that he could eat the good food. He could eat the good food with us. But his siblings wouldn't allow it. There was no way he was participating in the good raps. Now, I wonder if you've ever experienced something like that, something where you kind of feel left out and on the edges. I wonder if you've ever felt like you don't belong. Well, I hope that wasn't your experience here at church. But I do know that for some of you, it has been your experience here. And I'm deeply sorry for that. Friends, the message of Jesus, it's for everyone. Jesus offers this woman, who is far from God, he offers her eternal life. He offers her living water. And this living water, it's for everyone. But you might be sitting there thinking, you know, that's great for this woman, this Samaritan woman. But if Jesus knew the things that I've done, there's no way that he would give me living water. Well, can I say, if you're thinking that, can I say politely that you would be mistaken? You'd be wrong. Because the reality is Jesus and God do know everything you've ever done. Everything you've thought, everything that's came out of your mouth, your actions, they do know what's in your heart. And we're about to see that Jesus knows everything that this woman, this Samaritan woman, has done as well. But he still offers her eternal life. He still offers her living water. He offers her true satisfaction. And that really brings us to our second point tonight, that this living water that Jesus has to offer everyone is what will truly satisfy us. Let's pick up the story again from verse 11. I'll put it up there for you. It says this. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Now, there's a lot of things going on in the passage, but the most significant thing is the woman wants the water that Jesus has to offer. But she's not getting that Jesus is actually not talking about water. He's just kind of using water or H2O as kind of like a word picture. But she wants this water. She doesn't want to keep coming back to the well in the middle of the day. But Jesus is talking about something much deeper than water from a well. Well, let's pick up the action again from verse 16. He, that's Jesus, told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true, sir, the woman said. I can see that you are a prophet. The woman just wants the water, but Jesus is going after a deeper thirst. Jesus tells the woman to go and get her husband. She replies, I have no husband. And then Jesus kind of reveals that he knows what's really going on. You know, he says, you know what? You've actually had five husbands, and the guy you're now with is not your husband. I think what we're meant to see here is that this woman is looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. She's looking to fulfill her deep thirst with blokes. But Jesus can offer her something far greater. Now, the woman, she might be a little bit embarrassed by the fact that Jesus knows everything she's ever done. And she says, you know what? I can see that you're a prophet. And then she launches into a bit of a tangent about worship and where the correct place to worship God is. And you can see that in verses 20 to 22. We're not going to talk about that. But one of the commentaries I was reading during the week, it said that this was a classic move. That when people are pushed, when you push in and say, how are you really going? What's really going on for you? Often, they'll ask a theological question to kind of shift the focus. Maybe that's true of the situation. Maybe you've done that before. But the question that this woman asks is precisely the right question. The answer to satisfaction, the answer to thirst, is to truly worship God. And Jesus clears up the confusion about all this in verses 23 to 26. We'll have a look with me there. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers that the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Jesus tells this woman about a new worship that will come in through him. And this worship, it won't be limited to a location like the temple. See, God is spirit. That means he's spiritual and not material. And since God is spirit, proper worship of him is a matter of spirit rather than physical location. Jesus says that true worshippers will worship in the spirit and truth. I think what Jesus is saying here is that true worshippers of God will worship him through the Holy Spirit that will live inside of them. Later on in John's Gospel, we'll find out that after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus will send the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit will help believers to live God's way in all of their lives. Jesus is offering this woman a restored relationship with her Creator, something that will truly satisfy her, something that will truly satisfy us. And the Holy Spirit will actually help us to worship our Creator, because we were designed to worship our Creator. When God put Adam in the garden and he said, you know what, you have to work for it and care for it. The Hebrew word for work there is the word avad, which means to work or to serve or to worship. We were designed to worship our Creator. That is our purpose. That is what we were made for. Now, I'm not sure if you waste a lot of time watching YouTube. I do, to be honest. I love watching V8 rally cars, like old V8 Commodores doing rally. It's amazing, to be honest. The sound is good. But I also like watching kind of disgusting things too, like a cow with an abscess. They kind of jam the thing in and the pus kind of spews everywhere. Love that. Or seeing like donkey's feet. Sometimes you'll see like donkey's feet, their toes have got kind of like curled up, and they'll get at this kind of knife thing and they'll kind of chop it off. And I do love watching that, to be honest. It's very satisfying. I actually heard on Country Hour on Thursday when I was listening to it that there's a vet in Western Australia who's become famous for kind of, you know, lancing boils or whatever you might call them. Abscess, that's the right word. Thanks for the vet students out the back. Lancing them. Maybe you guys could become YouTubers doing that. Anyway, he said in Esperance in Western Australia that if anyone had like a cow with an abscess on it, he would come and lance it for free if he could YouTube it. Love that sort of stuff. But if I'm honest, also love a little bit of Dr. Pimple Popper. Some of you will think that's gross. Some of you will love it. My family hate it. My wife won't sit next to me when I'm kind of watching it. I do quite like it. I've almost convinced my mum to watch it regularly. She watches a little bit of it in the family chat. I post the good ones, like the real good ones. I'm like, here, look at this, guys. This is pretty amazing. Anyway, but there's something just so satisfying. There's something like amazingly satisfying about seeing like a big blackhead just get extracted. Like they just kind of jab the thing in, squeeze it, and just comes out. It truly is satisfying. Things returning to how they should be, how they were created to be, it is a truly satisfying thing. Well, friends, the woman in the passage is looking for satisfaction, looking to have her thirst quenched in blokes. But really, the way to a truly satisfying life is to believe in Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit, and to worship your Creator, because that is what you were designed for, that is what you were made for. Now, we don't know if the Samaritan woman takes up Jesus' offer. She returns to town, she tells all the people about Jesus, they come and spend time with Jesus, and they end up believing that Jesus is the Saviour of the world. But we're not specifically told about this woman. Well, friends, what does all of this mean for us? Now, remember, as we do this series, as we spend time with Jesus, as we have some fat chats with Jesus, Jesus is revealing to us what the God of the Bible is like. So what does this story, what is this story about the Samaritan woman, what does that reveal about God to us? Well, I think it reveals a number of things. The first is that God wants people from every group, every people group, tribe, nation, to be in a relationship with him. Jesus went out of his way to go to the well in Samaria to have that conversation with the Samaritan woman. God wants people to hear about Jesus and to believe in him. If you're a Christian, can I say, what role are you playing in helping the gospel to go out? Because if you're a Christian, that is your purpose. That is one of the ways that you worship God. But if you don't believe in Jesus, do you realize that God wants all people to believe in him? Even people with a past that they would rather forget. God loves saving broken people. People who've been looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And let's face it, all of us have been there. All of us have looked for satisfaction in the wrong places. All of us still struggle with that, if we're honest. God wants people to believe in Jesus and to worship him through the Spirit. Worshipping God is what we were made for. That is where we'll find true and ultimate satisfaction. But what about if you do believe in Jesus? You believe in him, but you still thirst for the things of this world. Your thirst doesn't seem quite quenched. What about when following Jesus actually feels like a real burden? Well, friends, the reality is we still live in a broken world because of our sin. We live in a broken world now, so things won't be perfect. And there's still a battle going on inside of us if we believe in Jesus. The spirit and the flesh are kind of fighting it out. And so we will struggle. We will struggle to find our satisfaction in Jesus. But so often, I reckon, Christians struggle because we don't do the simple things. We don't do the Sunday school answers. We don't read the Bible. We don't pray. We don't meet with God's people. We don't serve God's people. Now, I know that's a bit simplistic, but the more we do those things, the more that we will delight in Jesus. And the more we delight in Jesus, the more we'll delight in God, the more we will worship our Creator. The more we'll do what we were designed for. And serving God, there is delight in that. If you believe in Jesus and you are serving God, we can experience real satisfaction in this life. 100%. But not all the time, but definitely sometimes. And obviously one day we'll be with God in perfection forever, where we will be truly satisfied every second of every day, forever and ever and ever. Friends, can I encourage you to know that what you're really thirsting for, what will really satisfy you, is a relationship with your Creator, worshipping him, serving him and his people. And friends, we can do that through the Lord Jesus and through the Spirit that he gives us. Well, friends, let's pray that we'll do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you speak to us in it. Father, all of us know that we thirst after things that aren't you. And we think the things of this world might bring us true satisfaction. Father, please forgive us for that. Father, please help us to know that only Jesus will satisfy. Only worshipping you through Jesus will satisfy. Father, help us to be convinced of that. Even when it's hard and life is messy and we don't feel like you're satisfying, help us to know that that is true. And Father, help us to do the simple things that will help our relationship with you to grow. Father, help us to read your word. Help us to talk to you in prayer. Help us to not give up meeting with people. Father, help us to love serving you, to love serving your people. Father, we know that one day we'll be with you in perfection forever, and in that place we'll be truly satisfied. But Father, please help us now in this broken world. Help us to enjoy those moments of satisfaction, knowing that we're in a relationship with you, knowing that we have a great hope, knowing that serving your people has eternal value. Father, help us to know those things and help us to delight in you. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.